see the cross before me, so I'll keep on pressing on.
God is calling, so I won't look back.
Lord is keeping me on the track. I see the cross before me, so I'll keep on pressing on.
God is calling, so I won't look back.
His word is keeping me on the track.
The scripture reading is going to be basically what I'm talking about tonight. It's found in Romans 8, verse 14 through 17. And it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness of our spirit, and we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together."
I'm a child of the King. Thank you for that beautiful song. I have to tell you that I'm greatly honored to have the opportunity to introduce our brother tonight. I hope he's as thrilled about being up here as I am. Are you? Good. I'll just tell you a little story. Many years ago, Andy and Debbie came over while I was building a shop out in my backyard. And Andrew was about this big. And I was talking to Andy about what I was doing. I was laying down some tiles on a floor, and I said, I'm going to have to take these up because they're not right. I have to move them over a little bit. And Andrew looks at me and said, why didn't you do it right the first time? Well, I'm assuming Andrew did it right the first time this morning, and now he's going to do it again. So I hope you give your careful and your prayerful attention to our brother, Andrew Brown.
Thank you for the special. The song, A Child of a King, that's my topic, is we are the children, God's children. I'm going to reread that scripture reading that I read earlier. It's found in Romans chapter 8. And this time I'm going to read verse 16 and 17. And it says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if the children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. This is, like I said, my main topic of this sermon. And I've split it up into four different sections. On the first one being things that you have to do to become a child of God, and then eventually ending up with his promises once you become a child of God. I'm going to go to start off in things you have to do to become a child of God. 3 Nephi chapter 6, verse 11. Okay, in 3 Nephi, chapter 6, verse 11, on page, actually, I'm going to read, yeah, just verse 11, on page 640. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I'm also going to read verse 12, I guess. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the tomorrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient is the day unto the evil thereof. My point in this was that the first thing we have to do to become a child of the King, to become one of God's children, is we must first seek God. Can you please turn with me in James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. And this scripture is kind of special to me. In verse 7 of chapter 4, it says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." And this is the verse that's kind of special to me. It says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." The reason this verse is special to me is because probably when I was about 10 years old, I had an experience. I'll just tell you half of the experience, but in this experience, I was in a field. It was dark all around me. Things were happening all around me. And in the sky, I saw kind of a building, and it kind of shone with the light. And I would walk towards this building through the field. And as I walked towards the building, I would gain elevation. And the thing that was impressed upon my mind after I had this dream was, as you draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh unto you. This is the first step in becoming a child of the King. Would you please turn with me now to 2 Nephi chapter 1. Chapter 1 and verse 108 through 110. This is found on page 85. In verse 108 it says, "Wherefore their state became as a state of probation, and their time was lengthened, according to the commandments which the Lord God gave unto the children of men. For he gave commandments that all men must repent. For he shewed unto all men that they were lost because of the transgressions of their parents." And my point in this is that, excuse me, the next thing you have to do after you believe in God and draw nigh to him is you have to repent of your sins. And after that, you have to, because we were lost and we have a reason to repent. That brings me to my next section, which is section 2, and it's titled, "How We Become the Children of God." And I'll start in Galatians 3. Galatians 3:26 through 29. It says in verse 26, it says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female. For ye all are one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, the heirs according to the promise." The next step is baptism. That is, as we know, the gate that we have to enter in. And you have to be baptized into the body of Christ. And you are the children of God by faith. And that is the predecessor to baptism. My next scripture is Mark 16:16. This is Jesus talking. All through this, I like using a lot of Book of Mormon scriptures, and I try to use the words of Christ because they seem to be clear. That's what I like to do. In verse 16 of Mark, chapter 16, it says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." That's pretty plain. You have to believe on Christ and be baptized. That's your chance. That's what you have to do. That's the gate. Please turn with me now to Moroni. Chapter 8. Moroni chapter 8. Verse 29, and this is the verse that's talking about the first fruits of repentance is baptism. This is on page 771. In the 29th verse it says, "And the first fruits of repentance is baptism, and baptism cometh by faith unto the fulfilling of the commandments, and the fulfilling of the commandments bringeth remission of sins, and the remission of sins bringeth meekness and lowliness of heart. And because of meekness and lowliness of heart cometh the visitation of the Holy Ghost, which comforteth, filleth with hope and perfect love, with love which love endureth by diligence unto prayer, until the end shall come when the saints shall dwell with God." And this is talking about the first fruits of repentance is baptism. Just bringing my point in of you have to be baptized, first repentance and baptism. I'm going to go now to Mosiah 3, verse 8 and 9. This is on page 224. Starting in verse 8, it says, "And now because of the covenant which ye have made, ye shall be called the children of Christ, his sons and his daughters. For behold, this day he hath spiritually begotten you. For ye say that your hearts are changed through faith on his name. Therefore ye are born of him, and have become his sons and his daughters." And after you have this, make this covenant of baptism, that's what I'm trying to bring out here, is this is the covenant which you've made, is baptism. And your heart is changed after baptism. And you are born in Him. You're born in Christ. Reborn in Christ. This brings me to my third section, which is characteristics of the child of God. How we are recognized, how we are identified, our characteristics. I'm going to start in 3 Nephi, chapter 5. Third Nephi chapter 5, in the 84th verse through the 91st verse. Wait a second. Yeah, 84 through 91. This is talking about, we need to reflect Christ. Starting in the 84th verse on page 638, it says, "And behold, it is written, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye shall not resist the evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him also have thy cloak. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that ask of thee, and to him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. And behold, it is written also that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But behold, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them, curse you, be good to them that hate you, and pray for them that which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on evil and on the good. Therefore those things which were of old times, which were under the law in me, are all fulfilled." This is talking about the law of Moses was fulfilled when Christ came. And the things which we should be reflecting, the things that we should be recognized as, is we're different. We turn the other cheek. We do all these things. You know, if someone sues you at the law, give him your cloak also. This is how we should be recognized and we should be identified. Let's go now to Matthew 5, verse 14. Verse 14 through 16. And to me, this is also what we need to reflect. This is the scripture about being the light of the world. It starts in verse 14 and says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city which is set upon a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that ye may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Our life should be a reflection of Christ. This is what people should look upon us and see. Not only that we are different, but that we are mirror images of Christ. We need to be the city that's set upon a hill that all people can see that we're different, the candlestick. These are some of the characteristics that I believe that we should possess. Please go with me now to 1 John chapter 3. Like I said earlier, because I preached a version of this sermon earlier, I didn't know exactly how many scriptures it takes to fill up a sermon or the time-wise, so it's kind of a testing for me, I guess. 1 John chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. And this is just another example of how we should be different, how people should recognize us as. Chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." In verse 12, it just talks about Cain. He was evil, and he killed his brother because he's righteous. My point in this was that we should be, the first part of verse 10, "In this the children of God are manifested." We should be manifested. We should be made known by our actions, by the things that we do in this life. We should love our neighbor as ourselves. Let's go on to, let's go on to Mormon 4. Mormon chapter 4 and verse 87 through 90. And this is kind of the part where it transitions in to the promises that we've been given. We already did the things that we have to do to become a Christian or become a child of God. Number two was how we became the children of God. Number three was the characteristics. This is number four, transitioning into number four, which is the promises of God. If we do these things, what promises He'll give unto us. I'm going to start in the 87th verse of chapter 4 of Mormon, 712, page 712. It says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." This is a good point, is that we should be, this is talking about the signs shall follow the believers. This is talking about our characteristics, but as we go on down, it drops into the promises. "And whosoever," in verse 88, "and whosoever shall believe in my name, doubting nothing, unto him will I confirm all my words, even unto the ends of the earth. And now, behold, who can stand against the works of the Lord? Who can deny his sayings?" And this is kind of the verse that I really like. It's, "Who will rise up against the almighty power of the Lord? Who will despise the works of the Lord? Who will despise the children of Christ?" That's some of the promises that are given unto us. Let's see here. And now, I kind of have a personal example of this. This morning when I went to preach in Payson, you know, I was nervous and I prayed several times on several occasions as I studied and on the way up there, and that He would make my weak things strong, and that He would help me not to be nervous and be able to use me for His will. And I have to testify that I was not nervous at all when I stood up here. I'm not really nervous now, that He does give those things, those promises which He's given unto us. That's just kind of a personal testimony of things that He's done for me. Let's go to Philippians in the Bible, to verse 4 of Philippians. Philippians in the 4th chapter, starting in verse 41. Wait a second. See, I did this before. Starting in verse 19. That's better. Okay. But my God shall supply all your needs according to the riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And that's in verse 19. This illustrates that He will supply your needs, things that you need. Let's see here. Let's go to 3 Nephi, verse 4, and this is in verse 41. That's better. 3 Nephi, verse 4. Chapter 4, verse 41. And this is right as Christ is coming unto this land. It says in verse 41, this is on page 628, it says, O all ye that are spared, because ye were more righteous than they, will ye not know, now return unto me, and repent of your sins, and be converted, that I may heal you? Yea, verily I say unto you, if ye will come unto me, ye shall have eternal life. Behold, mine arms of mercy is extended toward you, and whosoever will come, him will I receive, and blessed are they which cometh unto me. This is the ultimate promise that He has given us of eternal life. If we do these things that He has laid before us in the Scriptures, the things that we have to do, we have to seek God, we have to draw nigh unto Him, we have to have faith and repent and be baptized. We have to, after we're baptized, we have to show by our works the things that are said, our works of love thy neighbor as yourself, and then our reward will be eternal life. This is about all I have. It didn't go this fast and pacing, I guess, so I guess I'm just hurrying along because I don't know. I guess I could tell you now my testimony of my calling. Through the time that I had, from when I'd been called to, it was a couple months, I'd prayed about it and thought about it and fasted about it. And I couldn't bring myself to do it. I couldn't quite just do it. It was right there, and I was thinking about it, and I just couldn't do it. So one day, I was in the shop messing around. Nay and I were messing around, and he threw a hard rubber ball and it hit me right in the eye. Right in the eye, like right close. I mean, his hand almost hit me in the eye. And immediately I knew something was wrong. I couldn't really see that well out of that eye. And so I went inside, and I really couldn't see. My eyeball was like popped out a little bit, and it just wasn't very good. So I asked for administration. So my mom called Brian and Gordon, and they came over, and we had a word of prayer, and all through that I prayed, this is probably wrong of me, but I don't know. I did it anyway, I guess. I prayed, you know, Lord, because as I prayed, Lord, please heal me of this. Because I was afraid I was going to be blind because I couldn't see. Sorry. And they ministered to me, and I got immediate healing, and I was to know that I was to accept the calling. Sorry, I don't know why I'm crying. But not far after that, I asked Brian, you know, I need to be ordained. And that's about what happened. That's about all I have to say, I guess. So thank you.